to wrap up our show, we are going to turn to our movie moles, Denise Morris and Fran Michelle, who are going to be reviewing the Patricia Highsmith novel-based movie Carol, based off the novel The Price of Salt.
Good morning. This is Fran Michelle with Denise Morris to discuss Carol. Carol is the latest feature from director Todd Haynes, perhaps best known for the Douglas Sirk homage Far From Heaven. Carol is currently playing in Portland at the Hollywood Theater. It's based on the 1952 novel originally titled The Price of Salt, written by Patricia Highsmith, who also wrote Strangers on a Train, The Talented Mr. Ripley, and other books made into films, though The Price of Salt was originally published under a different name. Like Highsmith's Ripley novels, The Price of Salt was unusual for its day in allowing the protagonist to escape the usual fate of literary characters who violate the conventions and rules of bourgeois life. In Carol, unlike the film versions of the crime novels, the ending has not been changed. The screenplay is by Phyllis Nagy, who knew Highsmith and spent years bringing Carol to the screen. The film stars Cate Blanchett in the title role and Rooney Mara as Therese. The two women meet when young Therese is working the Christmas rush in the toy section of a department store, and the wealthy older Carol comes in to buy a gift for her daughter. When Carol's husband, Harge, denies her the opportunity to see their daughter as they work out the details of their divorce, Carol's friend and former lover, Abby, played by Sarah Paulson, suggests that she leave town for a while. Therese joins her on the road trip, and they consummate their affair just before discovering Harge has had them followed by a private detective who has already sent back the incriminating tapes from their bugged hotel room. This film has gotten almost universal praise from critics and viewers, and I think we'd both agree it's worth seeing, though it might work better if you've not read the book. So let's talk about what's great and what's not so great.
Well, Fran, I like to think of this film as my guilty pleasure. It's a beautiful film. It really stays true to a particular style Hollywood film, as Todd Haynes did, as you mentioned, with Far From Heaven. This film has been talked about to death. I spent hours reading reviews, so I actually kind of enjoyed it. Well, of course, one of the most compelling aspects of the film is the way that it looks and the use of gesture and composition and glances to kind of tell a story that cannot be told in a particular way under the circumstances that these women are living in, particularly under the circumstances that Carol lives in, because she's upper class and she is seen as being far more constrained by the moral imperative than Therese is, who is a little bit more of a bohemian girl coming of age in a completely different generational environment. So the film, I think, in its style, does something that films did in that period of time following the House Un-American, whatever that was.
HUAC, House Un-American Activities Committee, the McCarthy era, which is mentioned briefly. There's one of the characters, one of Therese's friends, one of the young artist, just getting started in life kind of artist types, mentions, I'm going to report you to HUAC. It sort of indexed that this is a period of time when people are under surveillance, that and certainly Carol is concerned about the way that Harge's family perceives her because it has an impact on custody questions in their divorce. But we get the sense that Therese's friends, the younger, more artsy bohemian crowd, which has less to lose, is able to joke about these things already in 52.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think that in that period of time, in the real period of time following the 1947 Hollywood blacklist, films took all sorts of routes to talk about things that couldn't be talked about explicitly. So I might argue that I think as Todd Haynes came into the picture on this film as a director, his love of that period and the stylings and merged it with that sensibility that we're going to tell this story in a way that we might have had to tell it perhaps in that period of time. Now, I'm only guessing, and as I said, it's a guilty pleasure. So I did really appreciate the film, and I appreciated its approach and its sense of visual composition and artistry and glamour, frankly. Now, and for some, it was just too pretty and too glamorous.
Yeah, some critics have suggested it's art directed to within an inch of its life. That, you know, Carol's hair matches her coat, matches. It's a very beautiful film.
Yeah.
And as people have noted, it's sort of visual style inspired by the photography of Saul Leiter,
yeah.
Who was working in that era and who's having a retrospective coming up pretty soon. And that sort of emphasis on the visual is one of the things that's changed from the book. Also, that Therese in the book is a theater designer. In the film, she's a photographer, which makes sense, right? We get a much more sort of direct emphasis on her visual gaze rather than her thoughts, which is the book is sort of focalized through Therese's perspective on things. So we get that sense of the visual and sort of the excuse for all those beautiful compositions and colors and that kind of muted tones. Mm-hmm. And everything is shot through the rain. And it rains a lot in this movie.
It really does. And it's, you know, it's Christmas. There's not, well, I guess they do get a little snow here and there.
But
I think it's the next Hollywood holiday classic.
Yes, yeah. The holiday classic of Carol. But also the visuals, as we were talking earlier, sort of fit with the question of things being conveyed through glances, right? The conventions of their eyes meet and something happens. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the sort of element of cruising, basically, that you can tell by looking at somebody and you can sort of maneuver things so that you just know about them.
You know, that's interesting because in Far From Heaven, obviously Frank, who is married to Kathy in that film, does go cruising. That's a different sort of avenue for the male homosexual in the 50s. But both Carol and Frank are trapped in these marriages. Marriage is a trap, by the way, in these films.
Yes.
If anyone's curious about how marriage is functioning, it's repressive. It's a repressive trap.
It's a repressive trap. No question about that.
Right. There is a little bit of cruising in this. I mean, it's playful. I would also argue that that's part of what I love about this film is that I think that there's humor there. There's a lot of playfulness there. There's two characters who arguably have no idea what they're doing at the time, but know what they want and what they don't want. Mm-hmm. Sort of, or maybe more what they don't want and are about to discover what they do want in a way that is more fulfilling than the sort of secret sliding in the shadows that must go on at times.
Yeah.
Or more like Far From Heaven, which seems to convey something more about the darkness, the shadowy world of gay life.
Right.
Whereas Carol is a little bit more glamorous.
A little more glamorous.
But she's got a house in New Jersey, so.
Yeah. Yes, Carol has a house in New Jersey. But there's an early moment when they go, I don't know, they go into a coffee shop or something, and there's two women standing over by the corner, and there is a series of glances, and it's like, huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're just a little bit more butch looking than the main characters in the film.
Yeah.
Who are conventionally feminine and beautiful and so
right,
on.
But it does say something about, again, that generational and class dynamic, because Carol's world is so, it doesn't mean that there's not gay people there, but it is portrayed as constrictive because it has to do with how upstanding you are and how capable you are of holding up your end of the moral code in a marriage and as an upstanding citizen. In the city, you might just happen to see two out women who are together, and even in 1952, so not as to say that gay people didn't exist or that somehow there's so much difference between now and then, even though obviously there has been progress made.
Yeah, I mean, and one of the critiques that some critics have had of the film is this idea that we're invited to sort of feel smug about how far we've come since 1952, that, like, yeah, you want to leave your husband for another woman? Fine, just leave him. No big deal, right? There's not a story there in the same way that there was in 1952. Although, depending on where, I mean, in New York, there would not be a story there. If you lived in Virginia, there might be a story there.
Right. And as recently as in my own life, in the 80s and the mid to late 80s, women leaving their husband as they came out was a big deal. So we're not so far removed, and it still happens.
Yeah. So we shouldn't be feeling quite so smug about that.
Yeah. I don't feel smug.
I don't feel smug.
There's lots and lots to talk about, particularly because Highsmith was so prolific and she wrote crime novels. So she wrote Price of Salt. I'm not sure if you said this in your intro, but she wrote that book under a pen name.
Claire Morgan.
Claire Morgan. And she seemed to have had somewhat, or probably has been studied as someone having a queer vision of her own.
Yeah. She talked about people having written to her about the book and saying, you know, once her name was associated with it and they knew that she had written it, and saying, oh, I identified so much, and, you know, you told my story, this is so wonderful, so that people really appreciated it because it was one of a very small number of books in which the queer characters did not end up having to go crazy, turn straight, die tragically. You know, I mean, nobody's life was really ruined.
Right. Yeah.
Spoiler, things turn out okay for everybody.
But there's a tremendous amount of heartbreak. And one thing that Todd Haynes points out, and I think is probably a common thought about Highsmith's work, is as a person who explored the criminal mind in that book, is she exploring the amorous mind? And in what way do those two things overlap?
Yeah.
In that the criminal mind always has to know where they stand with the people around them. There's something very similar there.
Yeah. The anxiety of, you know, does this person who I love me back? Are they going to continue loving me? Are they like, what did she mean by that? Mm-hmm. How come our date got broken? You know, what's going on? That sense of wanting to understand what's going on, not always being able to have the complete information one would like, but having it be really, really important to one's happiness, success, continued freedom, and right. so on.
Actually, Kate Blanchett spoke really, I think, eloquently and in a way that appealed to me as someone who has acting experience and loved that process of digging, talked about the austerity and the idea that you didn't talk about your feelings. So there's lots to dig around in the film. I think I would encourage people to not underestimate the film's content and depth, but also there are some things to critique, including race questions.
It is a white Christmas.
It's a very white Christmas.
Yeah. But it's beautiful and worth seeing, and I think I might actually go see it again at the Hollywood.
Yes, Hollywood Theater, a place that you can support them on. They've got several really awesome opportunities to see films.
Right. For the Old Mole, this has been Fran Michel and Denise Morris discussing Carol.